Paul, I'm curious about the pro line A swap today.
Yep.
Is that more based on what happened yesterday or on your opponent tomorrow?
Opponents going forward. Part of, I liked what Patty was trying to do. He was physical. He was on the puck. Get Mark a little more time, get him reacclimated into the game a little bit, balance the lines out. Nicky's got a few games here without being overly prolific. I've used Little's line in a role against the other team's best. At some point, that has to transition. That'll transition. It's different now. It's a rambler, but it's different now with the injuries that we have on what was the Lowry line, the matchups. So all of those things kind of factored into it.
Speaking of injuries, Matt Hendricks, sounds like he might even be only a couple of days away.
Yeah, he had a really, really good day today, and he went hard today. So we'll see how he is tomorrow. We'll talk to the trainers, see how they feel about it. If he is able to perform the way he performed today and he feels confident that he's a possible for tomorrow.
Okay. Kenny?
You've been around goalies a lot, Paul, in your career. How do you find the balance, or how do you know when a guy needs a break?
Well, you talk to him every day. You do a bit of an accounting in terms of your schedule. When they get off airplanes is important. How much practice time, how many days off they take, how they feel about themselves mentally. You know, if they're feeling good and they're confident, their game, they're more resilient. If they struggle in games or are getting bad results, you find that fatigue sets in quicker. So you just do an awful lot of talking to your number one guy, the guy who's carrying the ball.
I mean, how do you find – Connor's obviously going to have a career high in games this year. I mean, how do you find out whether 60 is optimal or 65? Or I mean, how do you sort of deal with that?
You won't be, you know, blind about what you do and just run them straight through. But we're going back to last season, training him for a job. So we want him to play some games. We want him to get into a bigger number of games and handle it. There's fatigue that goes with that position, and part of – being a solid number one, which he's been for us, is handling some of that fatigue. So he's going to play a bunch of hockey games.
Sure. And how do you think he's handled the workload?
Oh, exceptionally well. You know, it's an unusual schedule, right? I mean, we're 10 at home. We're not getting off airplanes. We've got rest days that are mandatory, that are built in. There's be as fresh as you could possibly be physically if you're not getting banged up. And so this is a good recovery time for him, even though he's playing an awful lot.
I mean, you've had two other guys go down. I mean, do you have to say something to the players at that point? I mean, one of them was a tip, I understand. That's very unusual. But when you have a guy running that often, do you have to say to your guys, maybe easy on the bar down shots, or is that something that doesn't get discussed
just
at all?
Just tell the goalies to duck more. It's the other way to do it. I saw Dominic Hasek scream at his team because they weren't shooting one-timers hard enough, and he was trying to stop them with his head. What you find is the number one guy who's playing a lot of games will stay on his feet more in practice. He's not going into the butterfly on every shot. The guy that's in the backup role that needs the practice to be his games is reacting game-like on everything, and that sometimes is even the warm-up shots. We have a shooter. We have a bunch of shooters on our team, and we aren't practicing them rolling them at the goal line. They got to shoot to score. It's rarely those guys hitting people in the head. You know, there's a reason they score a lot of goals. It's because they can pick the corner. The guys who get him are the golfer. You know, you say, well, bring it down the left side. Well, if I could do that, I wouldn't need any advice from you. Those are the guys you maybe want to keep the ball, keep it down a little bit.
Just going back to the line change, I mean, at times, line A and Ehlers, I mean, last night was a good example. There's been some overpassing situations. I mean, how do you guard against not stifling the creativity versus...
We would talk in generalities about what we're doing with the puck, but you get an odd man rush, I'm not telling them what to do. These guys score goals, and they're going to score more than they score now as they get older. So what they have to learn is the right time. I can tell you that being at ice level would be a whole lot different than even being behind the bench. Anything odd man, it's up to them with what they want to do. If we as a group, though, are coming down the ice and nothing's getting to the net, then we have to change that mentality a little bit and get a little more direct and focused with it. Yeah, it happened with Nicky. The goalie's position on that was really good. So He's not taking a wide open net and sending it back to somebody for an easy tap. And Kyle Connors actually is inside post. He makes a save on that. It wasn't a pass back to Copper. He's spinning, and maybe he's thinking pass, but that puck is going in. He makes a save, hops over Copper's stick. So, but the quicker general answer is anything odd man is on the player. I'm not telling him when to shoot the puck.
You talked about the skating speed. Yes, your speed is such an important element of your group. When games get tighter, what are some of the things players can do to find you use their speed when there's less room to get going?
Well, there's most importantly, there's two sides to the puck, if you will. If the game is tight and they've got it, we should be able to get to that check a lot quicker if there's not a lot of room. We use our speed both ways. We didn't use our speed either way, and it wasn't two or three guys as a group. We haven't played that way in a long time. Haven't had a lot of those games this year. Had one last. We'll be looking to be real fast tomorrow.
What have been the keys to regrouping from the efforts at home when you haven't had your legs? You've gone on long runs, like 9-0-1 both times after your disappointing losses. What do you think have been the keys in being able to do that?
Confidence. You know, don't burn the house down after you've had one bad game. Like, we'll be good tomorrow. We'll skate well. They're going to be good. It's going to be a fast game. That's the game that they play. But I've got lots of confidence in our ability to rebound.
It's rare that teams declare themselves as sellers. I mean, does that make them even more dangerous for the guys that maybe are potentially moving? Or what's been your experience in coaching against teams like that?
Well, I think the New York Rangers are in a lot better position to make the playoffs right now based on that. I mean, been in the playoffs for a long time. They got some big contracts, some older players there. There's an awful lot of pressure that goes to, you know, they're starting the season as a team that's part of the contenders. It doesn't happen for them. Tremendous amount of pressure on all the players, right? And the more veteran the group, the more they feel it. Pressure's off these guys now. They're only 3 points out, but the pressure's been lifted from them. I think they're at their most dangerous now, and I think they've got a far better chance of making the playoffs than they did 5-6 days ago. Right? They can go out and play, be loose. Big chunk of that pressure just got relieved. They'll be a real good team tomorrow.
Brendan Lemieux is dealing with an issue of some kind. Also.
Yeah, lower body. Had it happened in the games. Came out and skated the next day. Didn't get a whole lot better. We're just keeping him off until he can get back on.
And has Lowry been on the ice at all the last couple of days? Or any idea when he will be back on?
No.